Hey there, this is Rich Pav from www.horofunjapan.com, and starting out a little bit late today. Pulled the Iron River out of my pocket when I was on the subway, right before the train stops in Aoyami Chome, and I have to get out. I get the microphones already. So I pulled out the Iron River and then noticed that the battery cover was off, and I know that if I try to do a podcast with a battery cover off, the battery's going to pop out. It's just inevitable. It's anything that can go wrong will. So I said I was going to talk about the stuff that annoys me, or used to annoy me, about Japan. Like I said yesterday, you go through different stages of culture shock or culture acclimation. Where your first stage is everything's wonderful because it's different, and the second stage is everything sucks because it's different, and the third stage is it's just different, you know, and after a while it doesn't seem that different anymore. So I spent the first 2-3 years I was here miserable, complaining, just hating the place. And not wanting to leave, not wanting to feel like I've given up on the place. Uh-oh, this is the turn. Oh, there, I got my train pass, my subway pass. I used to complain all the time. And some of the things that used to bother me, my number one complaint is that whenever you meet somebody new, and this doesn't happen as much in Tokyo, it'll happen in the rest of the country. When you meet somebody new, they see you as a foreigner first, and as just a normal human being, a very distant second. So every first conversation you have with somebody is the same. It's the same topics about you being a foreigner. How do you like Japan? Do you eat natto? Can you eat umeboshi? Do you use chopsticks? Oh, your Japanese is very good. What do you think of Japanese women? And after a very short while, you get so sick of answering the same questions over and over and over and over and over that you just want to punch the person out even before that they open their mouth to talk to you. That you can even stop wanting to meet people anymore because you're just so sick of knowing what the conversation is going to go like. And the way that I finally got over that was, well, I realized that I was complaining about this because people see me as a foreigner. And I just realized, well, you know, what do I expect them to see me as? Of course they see me as a foreigner. I'm 6'4", 192 centimeters. Weigh about 120. Oh, did I just turn off? Oh, that was my second. Having technical difficulties here. Having an Adam Curry moment here. Okay, I'm recording. What happened was I heard some static. It sounded like the microphones. Like I bumped one of the buttons and the microphones turned off. What it was mail was coming into my cell phone, and that caused a static on the recorder. Anyway, of course people see me as a foreigner. I mean, it's a little difficult not to. And the reason why people ask the same questions over and over is that to you it's the 1,000th time you've heard that question, but to them, It's the first time they've been able, probably, perhaps, to speak to a foreigner. And they're asking the questions they want to know about, and it just happens to be that a lot of people want to know the same things about foreigners. Why do they... And then you can start overanalyzing this stuff. Everybody does it. You start overanalyzing that stuff and you come up with some sort of reason as to why they do it. And foreigners tend to trade their amateur sociological theories about Japanese. And there's a difference between understanding and acceptance. If you try to understand everything here, you're just going to go nuts. And it's much easier if you just accept it. And that's something else. You know, I think that's the problem I've been having with podcasting, is trying to understand why people want to listen to me talk, instead of just accepting the fact that, you know, I whip out my mics, I clip them in my glasses and talk, and people pay attention. And that's just the way it is. I don't have to understand it. So that was the first thing. And there's actually a concept in Buddhism that is related to this that I learned about that I found very interesting. Like, in my situation where I'm about to meet somebody and I'm thinking about what the conversation is going to go like, and I'm thinking all these negative things about how annoying this is going to be, and the person even hasn't said anything yet, but I've already made up my mind that it's going to be a shitty experience. In Buddhism, that's called papancha. It's like, another example would be like, going out, you're gonna go out on a blind date, and you've had bad blind dates before. So you're imagining how this one's going to go bad, and by the time you meet the person, you already hate them. And that process, that thought process that you go through, is called papancha. I just thought that was interesting because I never really thought about it having a name. And there's a lot of cool stuff in Buddhism like that that I kind of wish I had learned when I was, you know, in junior high school instead of now. But anyway, I digress. So another thing that used to bother me, and that was the big one. Well, one that's on my mind right now because it happened. When you get off the train, you know, a train holds I don't know how many people. A few thousand people, I guess. And they're all trying to go up the stairs at the same time when you get to Shinjuku Station. And it's very crowded and very slow. I mean, from the train to the top of the stairs, it's only a couple hundred feet. But it takes 5 minutes to get up there. And every once in a while, you get somebody behind you who for some reason, has to be up there much faster than everybody else. So they're pushing you. And my first reaction is wanting to turn around and grab the person by the collar and punch him in the face. And then my second reaction is to remind myself that, this is an opportunity to learn patience. So I say, thanks for teaching me patience, prick. And then I realize that I need a little bit more practice in this patience thing, and I just try to think, thank you for teaching me patience, without the prick part. Another annoying thing. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people that are listening right now who've been in Japan or live in Japan who are probably making a mental list of the hundred and thousand things that they can't stand about Japan. And I don't like being around those people. I don't like being around people who want to complain and commiserate. I would rather think about these things and then try to think of a way to make them less unpleasant. Oh, here's another one. Let's say, for example, I'll go to a store and I'm with my wife, and like it's an electronics store, home appliance store, something like that. Buying something my wife knows nothing about. But I'm standing there with my wife and the salesman, and I will ask the salesman a question, like a technical question. And then the salesman will turn to my wife and answer. And then I'll ask another question, and the salesman will turn to my wife and answer. And she's not my translator. I mean, I'm asking this guy a question, so I do exist, but he can't answer me straight. He can't look at me and answer. He has to talk to my wife and answer, because I guess he assumes that she's my translator, but she's not doing any translation, obviously. And that's another one of those moments where you want to grab someone by the collar and shake them. So the way I deal with that is I just try to see the humor in the situation and sort of make a game out of it and see, gee, how many times can I ask a question and how many times will he answer my wife instead of me? And just laugh at it every time it happens instead of getting all upset about it. So what is that, two? Think of another one. Okay. This doesn't happen as often as maybe it used to in the past, but every so often I'll be standing on the train or sitting on the train minding my own business, and somebody will come up to me and say, excuse me, but would you mind if I practice my English? And what bothers me about that is they're using you like an English vending machine instead of interacting with you as a human being. And you'll also get that everybody wants to learn English, and everybody wants their kids to learn English. So you often get people asking you to teach them English or teach their kids English. But some people will ask you in a way that makes it difficult for you to say no and not ruin your relationship with the person. And so you're stuck with either ruining your relationship, or you're stuck teaching them English and feeling resentful. Uh-oh, I think I got a phone call. Who's that? Oh, it's somebody at office. Okay, I gotta get in right now. Someone from the office is calling me, and I'm right outside the office, so I gotta stop now. And if you have any of these things, you know, similar stories, send them in. I'll talk about them next time. See ya.